Good morning. God bless. Good morning out there in CD land. And it's really a blessing to be here today to share God's word, to gaze upon the faces of my brothers and sisters in Christ that truly are the lights of this world. And last week, Trish taught about how we put off the what? Old man, and put on the new man, Christ, the new nature. And today, what we're going to see from God's word is the why and the how of putting on that new nature. But before we do, there's something else. Yeah, before we do, we have something else I want you to gaze upon.
I really don't think we should do it that way, Mike.
You know what? I think we should.
But it doesn't make any sense.
Yes, it does make sense. How does it don't make sense? I don't understand that.
How are we going to get all these people to sing a gospel song?
What do you mean? What are you talking about? They like gospel.
Oh, do they?
I like gospel. I think that they would do a really good job of doing that.
Well, I don't think they would.
I think they would.
I think you're full of it.
I think so. Well, you know what? I don't really appreciate it.
Well, I don't really appreciate you right now.
No, I don't really appreciate what you're doing. It's not even.
Why is it always got to be about you? Always about your way.
I'm just saying. No, you're the one who wants to do it like that all the time anyway.
You know, whatever. Forget about it.
What? Oh, you're just going to walk away from me, huh?
Okay. But what? You want to work this out now?
No, I don't want to. I mean, you don't want to work it out. You're the one walking away.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I think you got some attitude problems.
No, I don't think it's attitude problems.
Oh, I think it's a lot of attitude problems here.
No, I don't think so. I'm trying to have a conversation. You trying to argue with me.
Yeah, you're right. We are arguing.
No, we're not arguing.
Oh, yeah, we are arguing.
Okay.
I've just had enough.
Oh, okay. Oh, just like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, see you later.
Just because you can't get
Bye.
Your way, just going to walk.
Whatever.
Just go ahead. Just going to walk
Whatever.
Away.
Okay.
I can't believe this. Unbelievable. Y'all see that? Unbelievable.
Mike, how you doing?
Man, what do you mean how I'm doing? Can't you see the expression on my face right now?
Well, what happened?
Man, what are you talking about? You know Katie, man. How she gets, when she gets stuff, she want to get her feet planted, get real stubborn when she want to do stuff.
Whoa, what do you mean?
Don't you understand what
Mike,
I'm saying?
Mike, Katie is a valuable sister in Christ, and I think you should take a look and try and figure this stuff out.
My neck's starting to hurt.
Your neck's starting to hurt? All right. Well, let's take one step at a time. Let's figure out this thing with Kato. Let's go to the Word and see what the Word says about it.
I guess I can't say nothing to that.
All right, let's go.
Now, there's a couple of things I want to point out about that little skit. Because we are going to talk about why we need to renew our minds and how we need to renew our minds. Because that really is what putting off the old man is and putting on the new man. And it's wonderful to understand the scriptures. It's wonderful to know what we know about God's word. But if we don't know how to practically apply that in our lives, then what good does it do us to know the word? Go to Romans chapter 12. And yes, it's about the renewed mind. I thought about myself when I was maybe in the Word 2 or 3 years. And obviously, there were some opportunities where the believers were about the unrenewed mind, because for 1 month and a half, the leadership taught on the renewed mind. And I remember about the third teaching, I went in and I sat down and teaching started. And it's like, okay, we're going to talk about the renewed mind. And I went, why do we need to talk about the renewed mind anymore? I don't understand why they're teaching about the renewed mind. I mean, what is up with the renewed mind thing? We renew our mind. I mean, I renew my mind. What's? And then I caught myself. I'm like, what are you doing? You are sitting here unrenewed in your mind and wondering why they're teaching the renewed mind. Because it's something we all face on a daily basis. And you know what? I don't think most mature believers get in a situation like that and then run and start telling everybody else about it. I don't believe that's what we normally would do. But in this particular situation, Mike didn't even have a chance to get control of his anger, did he? The adversary put another believer right in his face. Now, Mike had a choice to make. He could continue on the way he did, which he did, because his anger was not in check. Or he could have stopped his own anger and went to scriptures in his mind and got himself under control. And I think that's where we get stuck, is it's not this long process of the unrenewed mind we really get caught in. It's the moment. It's in the moment of anger, or in the moment of selfishness, or in the moment of lack in our lives that we really start to lose the precious mind of Christ that has been placed within us. Let's look at Romans 12, chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Not unfamiliar verses. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Who is doing the beseeching? Vicky? Whose word is this? So God is lovingly begging. Now think about that for a minute. God Almighty, the creator of the heavens and the earth. Please, please, I beseech you. And be ye not conformed to this world. And in the manifestations, he really kind of laid out on the platter what this world was, huh? I was really blessed about that. I don't want to be conformed to the darkness. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, why do you and I, why do we need to renew our mind? Why? Okay? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, that's why, because God asked us to. How simple is it? Why? Because God asked us to. Okay, into teaching, we can all go do it. No, but that's the first step. Why do I walk in love? Because God asked me to. Why do I forgive? Because God asked me to. Why do I give of my finances, my time? Because God asked me to. Do we need a bigger reason than that? No, but let's look at Isaiah 55. Now, there are many, many scriptures that we could go to. I just picked a few. Why does Michael need to renew his mind? We're picking on Michael today. Isaiah 55. Start in verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts. Is that Vicky's thoughts? Nope. My thoughts are not your thoughts. That's God saying this to us. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Okay, now let me ask you something. I have a thought. Doesn't line up with God's word. God's word is God's thoughts, correct? And I got my thought. I don't want to. But I want you to. But I don't want to. But I want you to love. Whose thought is going to be more productive for my life? God's thought. Now I have to have a willingness to bring my stubbornness, my pride, my ego, my negative thoughts to the way God thinks. I have to do that because it says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, so getting that new nature that Trish taught about, it's not this magic wand that's waved over all of us. Not living this life, it's not. Now, righteousness, justification, sanctification, all of that is wrapped up in the accomplished works of Jesus Christ. But living the word in this body is my responsibility. It's something God gave me the privilege and the free will to do. So God tells us to do it. God tells us his ways are higher than our ways. Look at Proverbs chapter 3. Now, I know most of you probably never argue with another believer. I know most of you would never get into anything like Katie and Michael got into today. Oh, no. I know it's shocking for some of you, but I never lose it. I know that's very shocking for those of you who know me. I never get mad. I never get out of fellowship. I'm like almost Miss Perfect. Wrong. Every day I have to make the decision, just like you do. Chapter 3, verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my what? Okay, now, I know that's Old Testament. I know 10 commandments are fulfilled by the 2 commandments Jesus Christ gave us. But does God still give us things to do? When you look at Romans 12, 1 and 2, is that a request or is that a commandment? Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Request or commandment? Forget not my laws, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Why? Here we go. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Did Michael look peaceful? That's because Michael was not in a renewed mind state. Did Katie look peaceful? No. But you know what? That's the reality of how we live our lives sometimes. You know, married couples argue. Married couples get out of fellowship. Big deal. The key to this is to get back into fellowship with him first and then with one another. Why? So you can have peace. You can have a long life. There is profit in taking your thoughts and lining up with God's thoughts. And there's one more step. Doing it. Because I've had these conversations. I don't want to renew my mind. Well, you need to renew your mind. Well, I don't want to. Well, you need to, Vicky. It's my word. Come on, you need to renew your mind. You need to think about the loving things about this person. I don't want to. I know you don't want to, but you need to. Okay, I know I need to. You're right, I do need to. I really need to. Okay, well, next time I get a chance, I will. And then I avoid the person for 15 days. No, that's not doing it. I may be in agreement with his thoughts, but his way is bigger than my way. And he also tells us that. So it's not just thinking the word, it is doing the word. That's what God asks us to do. Is there any better reason to do it than that? No, but he shows us what will happen if we do. Look at Psalms chapter 1. You know, this really isn't an in-depth teaching of new information or Greek and Aramaic words, which I love to hear those teachings too. They're very valuable. I'm just kind of like the, let's do it. Okay. I mean, I understand every intricate detail of how God's saying it, but if I get the general gist, I want to go do it. You know, that's me. Let's try it out. And if we make mistakes along the way, God's bigger than that. He'll get us back to where we need to be. But you're not going to renew your mind. You're not going to do things God's way if you don't move, if you don't try. You just can't sit there and pout. Doesn't work. Because that's what most of us do. Come on, let's be honest. We know we've blown it. We know we need to change something. I don't want to. It's like, you know, Brenna. Of course, Brenna never does this. Never do you, Brenna. But it's like if Brenna would throw a fit when she's told no. Oh, I want to do it anyway. Well, we may not do that, but in our minds, that's what we're doing. Murmuring, disputing, stubbornness. You guys, that's darkness. We don't want that in our lives. Psalms 1. Blessed is the man. Now, who does not want to be blessed? Throw that hand up in the air. Who does not want to be blessed? Oh, shoo. Good. Blessed is the... No one raised their hand, just so you can see CD-ville, no. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. His delight. We should be delighted to do God's word. We should be excited. We should be happy to do God's word. We should be blessed to do God's word. You know, I was talking to somebody recently, read something recently, said, you know, I want Christians to see we can have fun. I want people to know being a Christian is fun. Well, guess what? It's not always fun. But you're still a Christian. And you still have a responsibility. Now, sometimes it's a lot of fun. And I tell you, when I have the most fun, when I do it God's way, that's when I have the most fun. Because his way's higher. His way's better. There's more profit in his way than Vicky's way. And he shall be like a tree, the man that is delighted in God. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in the season. You mean there'll be evidence of me walking with God? Yep, it's called fruit. And there's one thing I can tell you about fruit. You can't fake fruit. God says, if you walk by the Spirit, this is the fruit that will be evident in your life. Now, God doesn't say if you walk perfectly. He says, if you walk by the Spirit, the fruit of your life will be love, joy, peace, long-suffering, humbleness, kindness, meekness. That's going to be a part of your life. Joy. If you don't walk with God and you walk by the flesh, the fruit's going to stink. You're going to be carnally minded. You're not going to renew your mind. You're not going to be humble and meek to one another. You're not going to give like you should give financially or of your time. Your fruit will stink. It's that simple. So why don't we do it God's way? There's a new revelation thought. No, God's been telling us that for centuries. So is Jesus Christ. Do you want to prosper? Who does not want to prosper? Had no hands. I want to prosper. I have to change my mind. The benefits to our lives when we line our thoughts up with God are so much bigger and better than when we don't. And there are times when all of us don't. So you know what? If you got to get some help, if you can't get past something, go talk to somebody that you know will take you to the Word. Is that not what Josh did? I know it's a silly little skit, but it really isn't a silly little skit. Because honestly, Mike was on a roll. He was upset. Josh could have said, yeah, Oh, I know. Well, you know, that's just Katie. Come on, Josh. Mike, don't let it get to you. I mean, I've dealt with Katie. She does that to me too. I mean, Katie's Katie. Is that what the Word says? Nope. The Word does not say to allow your brother and sister to, I won't even use the word, moan and groan about your brother and sister. The Word says, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. See, it's not wrong to reach out for help. But you know in your heart who's going to speak the word to you and who's just going to be your buddy and say, yeah, yeah, yeah. Because that person really isn't your buddy. That person is your miserable comforter. And God talks about that in Job. That's not real good. But 2 Corinthians chapter 10, let's start in verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Did that look pretty personal? This little skit, did it look pretty personal between Mike and Katie? Was it getting personal? It was personal like that. But the solution is not personal. The adversary wants you to focus that it is personal, but it's not personal. The Word says, For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every, what? Thought to the obedience of Christ. Every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now that's a challenge. And not for me though, because all my thoughts are. No. Ha ha ha. That's a challenge to every one of us. But you know what? God has put who within us? And whose spirit is in us? God's spirit is in us. Christ is in us. His ability is within us. Do you understand the power that lies within your mind? But you have to have a willingness of mind to come to it. It doesn't say, okay, if you ask me to, I'll bring every thought of yours to me. It doesn't say that, does it? There is a responsibility among Christian believers, especially those of us who understand and know as much of the rightly divided or the word of God that we know in our lives. And that responsibility is a willingness, a heart to obey God, a humbleness before our Father. He also tells us to be humble towards one another. And that's every one of us. If I am wrong, and it's Brenna that says, Vicky, you shouldn't act like that. You're angry. I should be humble to that voice that just spoke the word to me. It doesn't matter the age. It doesn't matter the function in the body. We all have them. There is not one person in this room who can say to another person in this room, I am angry at you and I don't want anything to do with you again, and walk out. No one has the right to do that. No one has the right to do that according to God's thoughts. And maybe yours. But I tell you, you ax out a believer in your life, and there's not revelation to avoid that person, you have really hurt not just you, but every member of the body of Christ. There is nothing that we cannot do to each other or say to each other that cannot be fixed. If two willing hearts will come together with this word being the deciding factor of how I'm going to act and how I'm going to behave in that situation. Guys, come on. This is really cool. Can you understand how if we could take this into every workplace in America, how much more productive work would get done? Do you realize in our families, there are family members, blood relatives that don't speak to each other because of stupid things that happened when they were teenagers. Do you understand how much light would shine in this world if we could teach these to men and women who maybe they're believers but don't know, and maybe they're not believers and could become born again? We have a treasure within our minds. We need to have the willingness of heart to speak it forth, first and foremost, to ourselves. Because this verse 6, right after casting down, it says, and having in readiness to revenge all disobedience. All right, man, I'm going to start. I'm going to go out there. I'm going to tell people when they're wrong. Yep. No. When your obedience is fulfilled. See? Remember that the Gospels where it says, take the beam out of your own eye before you try to take it out of your brother's? Good advice. This is a wonderful God we have. 1 Peter chapter 5. In children's fellowship, we're really talking a lot about being kind to each other. Right, Brenna? Talking about being kind to each other in children's fellowship, huh? Being kind to one another and forgiving one another. Jeez, what a concept. And mean it. Here's another reason why we need to renew our minds. First Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, your what? Okay, it does say your adversary. So you know what? That's what makes this very personal. It's not personal between Katie and Michael. It's personal between Katie and the adversary. It's personal between Michael and the adversary. He makes it very personal. But it's still spiritual because you're fighting a spiritual adversary. That's why we have to do it God's way. Not carnally, but spiritually. Look, God tells us to do it. He shows us the profit of doing it. He tells us how to do it. And he tells us, look, you got an enemy. It's not just because I want to play checkers with you guys. No, I'll jump you here and you here because I want you to do this because I want to have fun. No, there is a purpose, a godly purpose. And he tells us, you got an adversary who is the devil. As a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. Hey, the evil one will not back off unless you back him off. He will take a mile if you give him an inch. Because he's the evil one, he's your enemy, your personal enemy. That's not to scare you, because you have God in Christ in you. You have the keys and enablements from what you've been taught from the Word. If you never were taught, if we weren't taught anything else after today, we have enough to kick our adversary's rear end every time he rears his ugly, roaring head. See, he didn't give Mike time to even think about the Word. He was on him with another temptation. That's how he works. That's why God tells us to lead every thought captive. We don't have time to leave a door open to him. So if you want to walk in the new nature, then you have to do it God's way. If you want to walk with peace and joy and abundance, prosperity, and like the light you are, then you've got to have a willingness, a heart, to change your thinking to line up with God's thinking. Mike has to make a decision to receive the Word. Mike has to make a decision to do the Word, just like you and I do in every situation we come in contact with every day. And you know what? Sometimes those situations are between me and me. You know, you wake up, you don't feel good. Now you got a decision to make. Okay, do I just give in to this? Do I just stay in bed? Do I confess I don't feel good? Do I beg God to heal me? Do I ask God, why me, God? I hope not, because you will not get delivered. You got to take those thoughts. I'm not saying the pain's not real. You got to take those thoughts. You got to take them to the Word. How about by his stripes you were healed? How about reading in the Gospels how people got ministered to and delivered of every kind of thing that you could think of? How about calling somebody and saying, hey, I'm having a hard time. Please pray for me. Or some of you send a text, which some of you do. I need to be prayed for. See, there is a way for God to show us deliverance, but we have to have the willingness of heart to take the step. You know, I have to ask God, what do I do now? Show me what to do next. And you know what? So many times, Chris brought this up at his sharing the other night. I thought it was such a great point. We pray and we go to God. God, please help me. Show me what to do. And or maybe you're just like, okay, God, show me what to do. Or, okay, Father, I really need. Really? Come on. I don't care how you do it. And then God goes, okay, do this. And then you go, what? That's what you want me to do? No. There's got to be a different way than that. Come on. Okay, I'm going to try. God, I don't think you heard me correctly. Okay, maybe it was I didn't say it clear enough, God. This is what I want. Show me what I need to do to get what I want. So God goes, okay, this is what you need to do. And you go. Now, God, are we communicating here? Because I don't really want to do it. And I sure don't want to do it that way. And you know what? That's what a lot of us do. Now, I know that sounds funny, but it's the thoughts. God, I need this. And then all of a sudden, here's an answer. But it's not the solution you thought. I'll give you an example. I had a guy come to me one time, and he needed finances. So we prayed. And I said, you know what? You need to ask God what to do. He said, okay, I'm going to. So he prayed, and he asked God for money. And a couple days later, I got back to him, and I said, so how's it going? He goes, well, you know, God's just, I don't know, man. I'm just waiting for him to answer my prayer. I said, really? And he said, yeah. I said, well, what's happening? He said, well, you know, somebody told me they would take care of this bill for me, but I just, you know what, that's just not right. And I was like, really? Yep, that's just, but that's not right. I need to do this myself. And I said, let me ask you a question. You asked God to meet this need, correct? Yeah. And you thought it would come in the form of more money in your pocket or more money in your checkbook? Yep. I said, well, if you allow this person to bless you, would the need be met? Yep. But I can't do that. No. I said, well, it seems to me God's given you a solution you don't want to take. So maybe you don't really want to do what God is showing you to do. Maybe your pride is more important to you than the answer to your prayer. So maybe you want to think about that. And you know, it was so cool because this guy was really meek and he goes, whoa, I didn't think about it like that. I said, yeah, that's what happens to us. We tell God what we want, we determine how he's got to do it, and when he comes at us in a different direction to bless us, we can't grab our thoughts and line them up with his way. So we get robbed of the blessing. And that can happen in giving, too, the other way around. God will work in your heart to give to somebody, and you'll think, you know, I've given to them before, and they weren't very thankful. Or whatever thought the adversary will throw in there. The point is, we need to wrap our thoughts around God's thoughts. You know, that's the point. Because God's not always going to bless us and answer our prayers in the way we predetermine. We're so silly. That he should answer them, is he? No. And then sometimes it's right down the pike. But we got to be able to feel comfortable about changing our thoughts and lining up with God's thoughts, because that's what the renewed mind is. Let's go to Proverbs 29:22. Almost done here, guys. There's so many profitable reasons to do what God asks us to do. It's really pretty silly when we let our unrenewed carnal minds convince us otherwise. That's why we're here, so we can help each other. Proverbs 29:22. An angry man, whoa, Mike, listen to this. An angry man stirreth up strife. An angry man stirreth up strife. And a furious man aboundeth in transgressions. A man's pride shall bring him low. But, is there a solution? Of course. But honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. But honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. When you become humble in spirit, who do you honor more than anything? God. Because God directs us to be humble with one another. We honor God when we bring our thoughts to God, and we honor God when our ways imitate him in love, because that's what he asked us to do. Look at Ephesians 4. This is one we've been working with the kids on. Many verses in the Word that really, really tell us exactly how to take care of issues, carnal issues in our lives. Ephesians 4, chapter 4, verse 31. Let all bitterness and anger, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind, right, Brenna? And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Look at Colossians 3. We're going to close here. Colossians chapter 3. This shows Michael and Katie exactly how to handle this situation. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God. Number one, God reminds us of who we are and our capability. Holy and beloved bowels of mercy. Kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. That's patience upon patience upon patience with one another. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And I'll tell you something. Ephesians 4:32 talks about it too. If you have a problem forgiving a brother or a sister in Christ, you need to sit down and remind yourself of what God's forgiven you for. And then you will not have a problem forgiving other people. You got a problem forgiving? It's because you're not remembering what you've been forgiven for. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the love of God, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called. And how many bodies? One. And be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell richly. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. You got to let it dwell there. In all wisdom, teachings, admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, man, guys, think about that. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Now let's try this again.
Now, how does that sound, Mike?
Sounds good.
Yeah? Yeah. You think you can figure out how to apply it?
Yes, sir.
Yeah?
Yes, sir.
Well, there's Katie right over there. Why don't you go work it out?
Hi, Katie. Come on, I just want to say I'm sorry.
No, I'm really sorry, too.
I know, I'm sorry. Your songs are always the best.
Yeah, but, you know, I really got to just be a little more humble to you and me, because I think that could really work, to sing a gospel song and kind of introduce people to a different way of doing it. So I really appreciate you, and I'm sorry I didn't listen.
I'm sorry I got a little upset and said some things about you when you walked away.
You what? Oh. That's all right. You know, I really appreciate that you're talking to me right now and sharing your heart. So yeah. I love you, and I'm thankful for you.
I love you, too. Will you please forgive me?
Of course.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.